The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Nerd Clan, what's happening today, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Potterverse. Did you know that we're sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com? That's right, it's your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. And right now, my brand new Twisted Epic Mascara is on a discount for you, our listeners. Just head on over to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Hello, everybody. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake. And I would never get in a flying car. Wouldn't happen.
No. Blake has a severe fear of heights.
Oh, goodness gracious. I would die. I would eat a spider, I think, before I did that.
Yeah.
Get in a flying car.
Ew,
you guys are out of your minds.
It'll like bite you on the way down.
Because I hate spiders too.
You do.
Spiders are the worst. Spiders are the worst thing that was ever created. Especially Aragog.
Aragog is like quite.
On Aragog. Aragog can go get his shine box. I'm done with him.
Isn't it a she?
She,
isn't
he, whatever.
Aragog female. Whatever. She has does babies?
It, stats are for nerds. Aragog, whatever you are, you can go get your shine box. Because I'm out on a giant spider.
Well, you know what I'm totally in on? A Whomping Willow. And of course, that is the title of the chapter that we're delving into this evening. And to start things off, I just love so many things in this chapter, but I just need to give it up really, really small.
Okay.
Harry opened his mouth to say he was sure they'd be able to mend it up at the school, but he never even got started. At that very moment, something hit the side of his car with the force of a charging bull, sending him lurching sideways into Ron, just as an equally heavy blow hit the roof. Because he's like, oh, it's fine.
Whatevs.
We can patch this up. I've never fixed a car in my life. Womp.
Womp, womp.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's why you stay away from flying cars. Yeah. Don't do it. You just don't do it. Cars belong on the road. That's why you got tires. Unless you're in Back to the Future, where you don't need roads.
Our kitty is like very desperate for attention.
Yes.
Then sit and stay, lovey. My goodness gracious. Well, before we get into the chapter discussion, we of course wanted to remind you to hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. And you may watch us live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and be like, do I really need to subscribe? Do you love us? If you do.
I hope you do.
Then hit that subscribe button, because even if you catch us every single time we're here live, by hitting subscribe, it actually like boosts the podcast algorithm so more Potter fans can find the Potterverse.
That would be great.
Honestly,
so please
so
do subscribe.
Sweet.
Please do subscribe.
You can find us also at maryandblake.com, where we have a slew of different podcasts and blogs. Blake is also enjoying the Midnight Sun book, and he's doing a personalized Blake's Book Club review on that. You can learn more about that by going to JoinTheNerdClan.com.
Join that community over there. It's amazing. So many nerds uniting in total nerddom. And for this particular one, it is Midnight Sun. But soon it will be Voyager from Outlander series, which I'm very excited about.
The lime in the coconut.
You ready for this, Marvin?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Ooh.
So this chapter picks up where the last one ended, of course. It's titled The Whomping Willow. But first, what happens is Harry and Ron get stuck at King's Cross. They cannot go through platforms 9 3/4. And instead, they jump in the car that brought them there, decide to fly to Hogwarts, follow the train. All is well until they crash into the Whomping Willow and get in major trouble with Severus Snape.
And would you also say Minerva McGonagall, too, some serious trouble? No,
I don't think they're in serious trouble.
Yeah,
with her.
I agree. Because
she's like, let me light you a fire and get you snacks and not demote health points.
There's a slight bit of favoritism once again for the Gryffindors.
Yeah.
Just a tad.
Dumbledore comes in and he's like, why'd you do it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just don't do that again.
Please.
Yeah, just whatever.
It's probably not a good idea.
Hey, Minerva, just handle this, will you? Just figure it out.
She's like, oh, you missed dinner? Here you go.
Here's a plate with a total refillable sandwiches.
You're welcome.
It will never end until you just say stop.
Because I know Ron gets hungry. Ron. He gets a little hungry.
Hey, our friend Carl is watching. Hey, Carl. Way to
hey.
Be. We miss you too. He said that in our comments that he misses us. We
so
miss
much
you.
Love, Carl. So much love.
We haven't seen Carl in a while thanks to COVID. Not so much fun.
We'll get there. We'll get there. So Carl is a teacher, and we want to shout out all the teachers, whether you're doing this distance, real life, wherever you are. We admire you and we're thankful for you.
Hey, before we get into the rest of the chapter, I do want to say that I'm still not wearing a Hufflepuff t-shirt.
You're wearing a Nora Jones shirt.
Yes. For those of you who are watching live, I will actually give it to you right here. There it is. Nora Jones, baby. Nora Jones. Thank you so much. That's a great shirt. That is an awesome shirt. Given to me by a good friend.
Because you wrote... Does it say B. Larson?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Love that shirt. It just says Nora Jones with a period.
There you go.
Oh, it's the best. All right. Still not wearing a... still not wearing a Hufflepuff t-shirt. What?
I think I'm going to become like 20 patrons right now.
The Hufflepuffs have not united. That's okay. It's fine.
It's not even just the Hufflepuffs. Everybody needs to unite to get this jabroni in a shirt. Maybe then I could do his makeup and you can sing the Huggy Huggy Hogwarts song.
Oh, we'll see.
That's going to be like a trifecta of amazingness. Okay. So you ready to talk about
this chapter a wee bit? Let's do it.
Okay, so the Ford Anglia.
Okay.
Arthur Weasley, whose job it is to completely make sure that wizards aren't messing around with muggle stuff, messes around quite a bit with a car.
Absolutely. And
loves his car.
And doesn't tell Molly, by the way. Molly still does not know that there is a charm on it that allows it to get bigger for everyone to fit themselves and all the crap in there.
Yeah, I loved how he was like telling Harry, like, don't tell her I've got this charm to make the trunk really big. And yet the entire Weasley family and Harry magically fit into this car.
Right.
Like... You really think that okay, perception, her depth perception is probably as good as mine.
Yeah. which in the end is probably not that great.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob.
So they're on the way.
Not great, Bob.
You could potentially miss out on something super duper important, possibly mind boggling.
What do you mean?
They're driving and Ginny, little sister Ginny.
Oh, yes, yes.
I forgot my diary.
Get out of here.
You know that Wan just wants to put a passy in her mouth and say, honey, listen.
I don't care about your diary.
I don't care that you're like writing Ginny Potter in a heart all over your, you know, Ginny plus Harry. Like there's diaries in Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Trust me.
You can get another one, I promise.
You're going to have enough parchment.
So what would happen? I mean, first of all, God bless the Weasleys. Stop and go. Stop and go. They get a little bit further out and they say stop. They got to stop.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Fireworks.
That's what happens with a family of seven.
Oh my God! If that were me, I would have murdered.
Well, there's a family of nine.
I would have murdered
kids.
My entire family. No, absolutely not.
We would just wake them up, and their morning mantra would be, "You get what you get, and you don't get upset."
Oh, you didn't get your broom? Sorry, it sucks to suck. And especially a diary. No way. At least you can make an excuse for the broom because the kid needs it for Quidditch.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
No.
A diary.
No. A diary? No. Go get yourself one of them composition notebooks.
Okay,
and a quill.
Check this out. Ginny leaves the diary at home. Her family tells her, deal with it, Ginny. It's a book. We'll get you a new one. Or maybe I'll mail it to you, or I'll send it with Errol.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which, you know, would never end up. I mean, Errol's done.
He would have crash landed somewhere.
Yeah. He'd go on a little vacation with it, make it into a nest. So imagine if the diary never went to Hogwarts, mm-hmm. never opened the Chamber of Secrets, mm-hmm. never said the Basilisk loose or had Tom Riddle appear.
Yeah, that never would have happened.
However, Harry would have never known that that was the seventh one of the Horcruxes.
Yes.
And if they ever figured out, oh my God, it's in a diary. That's a Horcrux. You know, they figure out like the cup, and they figure out the like everything, the diadem. They figure out all these different things. They figure out the snake. They figure out all these Horcruxes. If Dumbledore even did figure out this diary, they wouldn't know where the heck it is. They right. would maybe be like, is it in Bellatrix bank? Okay, now is it Lucius? Is it maybe in Lucius's house? No. Had Ginny's family not turned around to get this diary, not only would Mrs. Norris never have him petrified, poor little thing, as we know is going to happen, nor would we have had this fear of the Chamber of Secrets. But honestly, I don't think Harry Potter would have been able to... off Voldemort at the end.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Though, if they left it there at the Burrow, let's say, right? At some point, Harry, in one of the years, would have been at the Burrow and would have heard the Horcrux calling to him, right?
See, this is where it's questionable because... Yeah. Like, so the calling to him thing is a more movie thing. They added like this audio aspect to
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
So I don't think...
Which, by the way, I think is a fantastic choice.
Agreed. Yeah. But like in this book, he doesn't necessarily have this weird... I mean, he becomes kind of obsessed with this diary, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have this like, oh, this feels like... Yeah, feels like one of those things. Like, yeah. I don't think he would know.
So a question that I have for you is... All right, let's just say for the sake of argument that Lucius needed to get the diary into Hogwarts.
He does, right. Yes. Because Voldemort told him to.
Why would he put it in Ginny's hands?
Because you kill a couple birds with one stone.
Well, how is that?
Well, you need it to get into Hogwarts, and you probably don't want to send it with your kid because you're already kind of like being checked out. You can't go to Hogwarts.
Well, yeah, no, you're definitely not going to put it with Draco. With Draco. Ain't going to happen.
No, we'll just trust him with the opal necklace in a couple of years, you know.
Sure, yeah. We'll get there. We'll cross just, that bridge when we need to.
We'll get to like bad stuff at school soon. But also, by doing this, he can frame Ginny Weasley as the one that opens the Chamber of Secrets and henceforth framing Arthur Weasley, who's going after Lucius, because we talked about in the last episode, these guys have some major beef.
Why not give it to Harry Potter?
I think the jury is still out on Harry Potter and Lucius Malfoy's mind, because the Dark Lord hasn't returned yet. Okay, so check this out. You know when you're kind of like into a leader, and then a new leader comes, and you're like, this leader may be better. Like, I've loved that leader, but this one, does this one have the potential? I mean, he beat the Dark Lord as a baby.
Yeah. And I mean, there is textual evidence, too, there that says, you know, like, hey, when he says to Draco, hey, don't let it get out there that you don't like this kid, because it's not equitable, or
Harry,
whatever he
could
said.
Have been chosen.
Prudent.
Harry could have been Slytherin. Harry literally has everything inside of him to make this happen.
Yeah, but wouldn't I mean, just logically, let's just put it out there into the world. Getting Harry to, I mean, all right. So let's put it this way: if everybody knew what happened at the bottom of Hogwarts at the end of the Sorcerer's Stone. If everybody knew what happened, that means Draco knows.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think everyone knows. Like that line in Sorcerer's Stone bothers me. Oh, of course, it's a secret, so everyone knows. I don't think everybody knows.
Then why put it in there?
Because I think it was a stupid line. That line I have major problems with, because if everyone knew that Quirrell had Voldemort living on the back of his head and that Harry killed Quirrell and Voldemort is now roaming around somewhere... Mm-hmm. People would believe Harry Potter in book 5. people would believe that there's a real threat.
Well, unless you have Voldemort Truthers out there. That
people
like,
would be saying it in this book. They'd be like, oh, the Chamber of Secrets is probably opened by Voldemort since he's not on Quirrell's head.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... So I think people know that something happened and that Harry saved the day. I think it's as vague as that. That sure. Something happened and Harry saved the Sorcerer's Stone from being stolen or
right,
something.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, so
sorry,
I just
to continue.
No, that's okay. That's fine. I'm glad to talk about it, but just because I personally feel like getting it in Harry's hands because I don't know. I just think getting it in Harry's hands because then like why unless there's a nefarious plot against Harry. First of all, how does Dobby know that there's going to be danger to Harry? Why?
He knows there's going to be danger to Hogwarts.
Yeah, but he specifically says, Harry, it's not safe for you, Harry. Because if it was totally Hogwarts, what happens in this chapter, the platform 9 3/4 gets shut off, mm-hmm. He would have shut off to everybody, right?
No.
Why not?
Because he just wants to save Harry Potter.
But why just Harry?
Because Harry Potter's the boy who lived. Harry Potter is the boy that defeated Voldemort and gave people and elves hope in this world. And he's heard great things about him. So I think Dobby has like a fan crush on Harry. Not in like a crush way, but it's like, oh my goodness, this is an amazing human being. And I would want to warn them. You know, if there's someone that you really, really look up to, mm-hmm. you know, like for people who used to watch Oprah back in the day, like if you heard that Chicago was going to have some bad news happen to it,
yep.
you might send Oprah a letter and be like, Oprah, didn't she film in Chicago?
Why are we talking about Oprah?
I don't
Oprah?
Know. I'm just trying to think of someone who people think is like good.
Sure.
Like
yeah.
good for good's cause.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's cool. I'm down. I'm down talking about Oprah. Let's go, man.
Anyway. Malfoys obviously talked about it. Like, I can see Lucius and Narcissa talking about things. I think that Voldemort had given this book to Lucius so that it was in his possession, knowing that it needed to get back to Hogwarts. I would like to think that Lucius was just going to try to put it in any Hogwarts kid's cauldron, and that it worked out. Oh, cool. I can kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, but I don't think he was going to do it in any kid's cauldron. Because the way that it worked out was it seemed relatively planned. We talked last chapter that the likelihood of Lucius Malfoy going out there and throwing fists in a dad fight with Arthur Weasley seems very slim. So because of that, it's hard to expect Lucius doing that on a whim. It feels pretty planned to me.
I mean, but Arthur struck first.
Yeah, but he was goading him pretty. He was goading him pretty hard.
I mean, honey, you just wait. He goats. He goats the Weasleys.
Rebecca actually says here because Dobby probably heard the Malfoys talk. Yeah. I wonder if elves talk to each other, even though they're not really allowed to talk about their
yes.
owners.
Oh, I completely think elves chat.
Agreed, but that just gets right into the idea that I'm talking about here. If the Malfoys are talking, mm-hmm. they must be talking specifically about Harry. Because if they're talking specifically about Harry, that gives Dobby the reason to go to Harry and say, you got danger coming towards you.
I feel like Harry's name has been brought up at least 12 times this summer.
Maybe.
No, I'm quoting it from last chapter.
Oh. You know what, Mary? You know what you get.
Okay, so can we leave this like mind-boggling world of the diary didn't actually arrive at Hogwarts?
There's a couple of other comments that I want to say from the listeners. Tamara
says, kind of mind-boggling.
Tamara says, Tom possesses Ginny. I don't think he could do that to Harry. I disagree with that.
Why?
Because
can a Horcrux invade another Horcrux? Can
well,
you
he
double
does.
Horcrux?
He does in Order of the Phoenix. He takes Harry over for a little bit. Mm. There's evidence to suggest that Voldemort can do that with Harry. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think there's evidence suggesting that you are. Rachel also says the Malfoys probably think they can ride the pot of fame to pretend that they're good friends with him for their benefit. And maybe Lucius is a coward and it's just easier to assume Voldemort is really gone versus trying to seek him out. And he needed to get rid of anything, dark objects, that would implicate him in such as the diary.
That's how I'm feeling.
It just feels like there's a larger plan here.
Malfoy doesn't really know that the Dark Lord's back.
Yep.
And he hasn't been for 12 years.
Right.
So I want to get rid of this stuff. The Dark Lord told me to get it to Hogwarts, so yeah. I'll at least get this to Hogwarts.
So, well, let's continue this a little bit further. Let's go down the
road. If you want to think that he was trying to sell it at Borgin and Burks and couldn't, and then he's just like, fine, I'll just drop this one off.
No, because he definitely would have bought that. The guy definitely would have bought that.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know he's got to get it into Hogwarts. You knew ahead of time.
Okay.
So there's a plan here, and let's take it further down the road. Dobby does the thing with Platform 9 and 3 quarters.
Correct.
But he does it specifically for Ron and Harry.
Yes.
That tells me he's looking specifically out for Harry.
Yes.
So why is he doing it?
Because you've heard that he's Harry freaking Potter.
True.
He heard the song about him on a Harry Potter musical.
Can we talk about how Harry freaks out? Harry and Ron freak out that the portal has been closed. And they're like, oh, well.
Wouldn't you? I mean, they ran at it at a full pace. Ron has done this now. He's probably walked his brother to school.
At least a couple of times, probably.
And their parents are on the other side. The parents never come back. It's like Home Alone. Like, why didn't Molly and Arthur come back? Can't they apparate? The answer is yes.
Yeah, but they didn't give them enough time to come back. Like, couldn't you just wait for your
parents? They had to, like, shuffle themselves, find Hedwig, who's rolling down the platform, like, say hello to the guy, figure out what's going on, walk to the car, figure out how to turn the car on. You apparate like this. That's it.
That's all you do. Hey, Brittany says here, she's at work. She cannot watch live, unfortunately, but she is saying Expecto Patronum, and I do because you are at work.
Thank you, Brittany.
Sharing. I want to call that out. Thank you so much. So if you are live watching us, make sure you do say that Expecto Patronum, knowing that tells us that you shared. So that's really cool. Yeah, would I have freaked out? I don't know. I don't know. What do you? I would have waited.
If my 12-year-old kid?
No. As a kid, would you have freaked out? Would you be like, oh, we got to get in the car? Or was it they just want to drive the car to Hogwarts?
I'd be freaking out. I think it depends like how. So this is the thing. Like Ron's lived in the wizard world. He's fine. Harry needs to get to Hogwarts. He's just spent another miserable summer with the Dursleys.
Yes.
He's been told if other magical things happen around him that he's going to be in deep trouble. Now he has wizard money, right?
Yep.
No muggle money, no food, no parents, no aunt and uncle. Like, you know that he can't. He's probably thinking, like, do I call my uncle collect? The payphone?
Dude, you know, I used to call my mother collect all the time. You know, 1-800-COLLECT.
Yeah.
And she used to get pissed. Don't call me collect. It costs us money.
I used to call collect all the time.
Oh,
except
my God.
I found a way to make it free.
How'd you make collect free?
By talking really fast. So.
Oh, it would be the, when hey, this
say,
person's
what's
trying
your
to
name?
Call you. Okay,
yes,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I'd
yeah.
be like, hi, Mom, it's Mary, pick me up.
Wait, what was it like?
Hi, Mom, it's Mary, pick me up. my best one was when my parents forgot to pick me up and I was left at school, and I was at middle school. All the buses were gone, and some like high schooler must have been dared to do this, but some guy came out of a car, like 16, 17 year old boy with undies on, like weird tights on, looking like a maniac, and he was like walking around me, and it really freaked me out. So I called my friend collect, and I literally was like, hey, it's Mary, there's this weird guy walking around, please pick me up. Yep.
You do the weirdest stuff, dude.
What do you mean, man?
Oh, man.
Listen, I didn't have pocket money either.
Oh, man.
This is why I clicked with Harry Potter.
Oh, man. That is so
funny.
He
didn't have another choice. He was afraid some guy's going to come out of a car in undies and stockings, okay? He's freaking out.
Melissa asks, I don't know if they had collect calling in England.
They have to.
In Australia, Asenath says they had 1-800-REVERSE. I don't even know what that is, but awesome.
Or you could just do like zero. I think I just used to
call... No, you couldn't do zero.
Is the operator.
Zero is the operator. I remember I used to call zero and always ask him the time. Hey, what time is it?
Blake.
And they'd be like, it's 11:32.
I used to call 1-800, I feel okay.
What?
I wonder if that still works.
And then I used to call 411. Remember calling 411 to get somebody's number? My dad used to get pissed at me for that too. Write the number down. Don't call 411. Are you legitimately calling?
Yeah, 1-800. I feel okay. From the OK Soda. What year was that?
Oh, geez, that's gotta
be 93.
That's early 90s. OK Soda.
It is not 108. It's no longer I feel OK Soda.
Okay, it's something else probably.
Okay, so. So they get the car working. Aloha Mora, open the car. Ron does a little tippity tap with his wand.
Yes.
Once again, Weasley children are doing magic. Because Fred and George were having banging things go off all the time.
Yeah.
And now Ron's just like swish and flick. He's not getting anything from Mathilda Bagshot.
That's true.
Oh, did I? I just like made two different
Mathilda names. Bagshot.
Yeah.
Mathilda Hopker. Good job, Mary.
You're welcome. Sorry, I can't remember everyone's last names. But he does this magic. So this is why I really believe that it was like Harry's house, that 4 Privet Drive itself had the like no magic thing placed over it.
Yes.
Because Ron's able to do this no problem. They get the invisibility booster working, except it breaks. The invisibility booster breaks.
Right. And they eventually go flying through, and they're up in the clouds, but they dip down every once in a while to see where the train is.
See, you were yelling at me for that last week.
I was. My hand was getting into your frame. Sorry. They dip down every once in a while to see where the train is because they're struggling to find the train. Finally, they get it. And I love how bored they are and how they're like, oh, we got, what was it? It was toffee. They got toffees in the glove compartment, and that's it. And what I really love about this, I love this chapter because I think it's the inverse of the ride to Hogwarts in the first book.
Yes.
It's the absolute inverse. Because,
I mean, he's even thinking about
the
trolley lady and the food they'd be having.
And they only got toffee and it's taken forever and they're cramped in this little car and the car's following the train. But like the train is a muggle thing. Like these wizards take this muggle mode of transportation to Hogwarts. And now, in this case, they're taking a charmed car, which is...
Yeah.
I just think that's really cool. It's a perfect thing to do for a sequel. And this is going to sound really nerdy. But
bring it on.
You know the movie Alien?
Yes.
Okay. I love Alien. Yeah. The first Alien is great. It's quiet. It's in space. It's very, you know, directed by Ridley Scott. And it's just very, like, old school sci-fi. And then they were making a sequel. It was going to be Aliens. And James Cameron comes in and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Alien, like this really cool, mellow, but super scary film. And I'm just going to turn it. I'm going to give it the inverse. I'm going to make it an action flick. I'm going to make everybody shoot everybody and people killing each other. Like, and they did the inverse. They took the same story and just made it different. They gave you the opposite. And the author does that here. She takes this story, at least the journey to Hogwarts, and gives you the inverse. I think that's really special. That's
Agreed.
When you know you've done really well, I think.
Agreed.
You're expanding your storytelling. Now, I think there's an argument to be made that you know, the Chamber of Secrets probably is a little derivative of the Sorcerer's Stone overall, but these specific details make it different.
They run into the Whomping Willow, Blake.
Yeah. And I love how Snape gets on them.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
But first, this the whole experience.
Oh, and Ron breaks his wand.
Yeah, Ron breaks his wand. You start to see that the car can, like, drive itself, because Harry just yells, reverse, at one point, and the car shoots backwards.
Yeah, can we talk about this? The car seems to have its own life force, apparently. Like, it gets, like, angry.
Upset.
It gets upset.
Then dented scratch streaming, the car rumbled off into the distance, its rear lights blazing angrily.
Like, it seems to have its own sentience.
Yeah.
So does that mean that the magic for the car gives it its own sentience?
Yeah, because, like, it seemed to be a muggle car before. Like, what in the world? Did Arthur Weasley watch Herbie and be like, I want that car? But I can't find a bug. So this is the next best thing. Yeah, like he was putting, this wasn't just like an expanding charm or an invisibility charm or a flying charm. Like he gave this car the ability to think for itself and drive for itself.
Right. Yeah. Like it feels kind of like, I mean, here's a Terminator reference, but it feels like Skynet almost. Ooh. Where like, you know, like it just, it's controlling its own thing. And like, does it get angry at you for not driving it? Like, does it take off?
It probably would.
Like, see you later, I'm out of here?
That's what it did. So the boys try to, like, get into the school, of course, and while they're there, they're like, oh, you know, I'm looking in, I could see all these people, but I don't see Snape. Where's Snape? And he's like, right behind you, jabronis. Mm-hmm. And he takes the kids to the dungeon. No feast for you.
No
feast for you guys. And he lays it into them. And what I loved about this is he, you know, puts down the newspaper. It's the evening prophet. There's the daily prophet, and then there's the evening edition, the evening prophet, to show that they made the news. Like, all these muggles saw this flying car, and they're in major trouble. And what I loved for a moment is, you know, he says, so, he said softly, the train isn't good enough for the famous Harry Potter and his faithful sidekick Weasley.
Yes.
Wanted to arrive with a bang, did we, boys? No, sir. It was at the barrier at King's Cross. It's silence, said Snape coldly. What have you done with the car? Ron gulped. This wasn't the first time Snape had given Harry the impression of being able to read minds. So now, of course, he didn't necessarily read his mind. He had it in the newspaper. But I liked that Harry was getting this feeling, because maybe he was doing legitimins.
Absolutely, he was.
Trying to look in you and like see what happened. Like, what is up with this kid?
First, I got to call this out. How does Snape get the paper that quickly? And how are they getting the stories out that quickly?
Sweetheart.
What?
Owls. Where have you been?
True. Very true. Not
going
to lie.
They don't have newspaper boys. Riding on a little bike.
I just, you know, all of a sudden he's got the paper and he's like, okay, what are we doing? I don't know. But he goes on Ron and Harry pretty quickly, pretty...
Rightly so, though.
Yeah, true. Because he does potentially expose, especially in a car that has been charmed by someone who works at the Ministry of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all bad news all around. It's just bad news all around. The other thing here too is that Snape is calling out Harry's fame. Why do you think Snape does that?
Because I think, like, he's said it from day one, the famous Harry, you know, our new celebrity, like all that kind of stuff. I think that James Potter, unlike Harry, I think one of the main ways that James and Harry are different is that James loved attention,
mm-hmm.
craved attention, wanted to be the leader of the pack and wanted to be the one cracking the jokes and the star of the team. And I think because he looks like James, Snape just expects that Harry is the same. When really, Harry just wants to be just Harry.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Blend in. But because that is the idea that Snape has, every time he looks at him, it looks like he's looking at James.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. He was in school with James at 12. He was in school with James from these ages. So if Harry looks just like James, it's mini James.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, of course you want to be famous. Of course you want all the attention for yourself. You always do. You know, like, how many times is he saying this because it's actually what he wants to say to James?
Right. And it probably doesn't help that Dumbledore comes in and is like, yeah.
I mean, he's not, yeah. I mean, it makes Harry feel really, really bad.
Yeah, he's like, you guys know you shouldn't have done that, right?
Dumbledore was looking unusually grave. He stared down his very crooked nose at them, and Harry suddenly found himself wishing he and Ron were still being beaten up by the Whomping Willow. So this is his own guilt, right?
Yeah, sure.
Then there was a long silence. Then Dumbledore said, "Please explain why you did this." It would have been better if he had shouted. Harry hated the disappointment in his voice, and for some reason he was unable to look Dumbledore in the eyes. So, like, Dumbledore doesn't just push it aside right here. Mm-hmm. I think he handles it in a very just way, because that really is the most important question. Please explain why you did this.
Sure.
And it's something that Harry was trying to tell Snape from the get-go, was trying to tell, you know, everybody. But, like, that is the important thing, and that actually is the person that needs to hear it.
Good point. Good point. Why do you think Dumbledore defers to McGonagall in their punishment?
Oh, because this is nothing to do... Okay, let's be real. Why do you think Dumbledore was asking Harry this? Because who's floating around? Voldemort!
Sure.
Okay, so Harry freaking Potter doesn't show up on the Hogwarts Express?
Mm-hmm.
And he just got Voldemort off of the back of Quirrell's head a couple months ago, I'm going to be worried about this kid. And then when I just find out, oh, something happened at the platform, you're okay now?
Mm-hmm.
Not my problem, Mon. I'm going to go back and eat. Go put on my headphones, listen to Kelly Clarkson. Like,
go with some Fox.
Seriously, you know, I mean, Dumbledore is not a micromanager.
Yeah, and it does probably fall under McGonagall's purview because they are Gryffindors. And
yeah, she's the head of Gryffindor, so she's in charge.
Right. So does Snape, is Snape in charge of all the stuff that happens with all the Slytherins?
Yeah, so if you expel, Snape says that, like, if you expel somebody, it has to be done through the head of your house.
Right.
And to me, it was like, Dumbledore just wanted to make sure this wasn't a Voldemort issue.
I love this part here. "Well, you're expelling us, aren't you?" said Ron. Harry looked quickly at Dumbledore. "Not today, Mr. Weasley," said Dumbledore, "but I must impress upon both of you the seriousness of what you have done. I'll be writing to both of your families tonight. By the way, side note, what does it matter if the Dursleys know what Harry did? Who cares? I must also warn you that if you do anything like this again, I will have no choice but to expel you." Snape looked as though Christmas had been canceled. Oh, and by the way, Professor Dumbledore, "these boys have flouted the decree for the restriction of underage wizardry, caused some serious damage to an old and valuable tree. Surely acts of this nature..." And then obviously Dumbledore says, "No, it's going to be up to McGonagall."
Yeah.
So I that's kind of a catch-all, I think, in that instance for Ron. Like, Ron, yes, did do some magic. He did violate the underage wizardry rules, and Snape is calling both of them out for that. So, yeah, I think there is something here. And I also love this transition, the way that the author does this. But also as Dumbledore, the character, the transition here is fantastic. "It will be for Professor McGonagall to decide on these boys' punishments, Severus," said Dumbledore calmly. "They are in her house and therefore are her responsibility." He turned to Professor McGonagall. "I must go back to the feast."
Yep.
"Minerva, I've got a few notices. Come, Severus, there's a delicious-looking custard tart I want to sample."
Yum.
Like, it's respectful, but it's dismissive at the same time. It's dismissing Severus in everything that he's
bowling. I know we're in your office right now.
Yep, but come on.
But it's time for you to leave.
We're gonna take a hike here.
Let's go get you custard. You're lactose intolerant, no problem.
And the theme here for food... Because you know Snape's lactose intolerant.
Oh my god, he totes toots.
Bam!
Just like that. A winner!
He totes toots.
That's why he didn't mind missing dessert.
Oh, it's custard tonight. Oh, yeah, I can't do that. Trace Late Chase? Nope, I'm out.
Bye.
I'm out.
Three milks? Bye.
Can't even do one. Got any lactate?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in his coffee.
The house elves probably don't like him, so they probably get like, "What do you guys want to do today? Pudding? Like real pudding? Like with milk? Like American pudding? Like that girl Mary Larson talks about? Or Trace Lace Chase custard?
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
And McGonagall just gets them a large plate, like we said earlier, a large plate of sandwiches, the goblets, the pumpkin juice, all this kind of stuff. And it's just ever filling. And honestly, all they missed from the Great Hall Feast, yes, was the merriment of their friends. But Ron misses the sorting of Ginny, which I feel bad about.
Ellen says that needs to be on a shirt. Snape toots.
Everybody toots.
Everybody toots. And it's just a picture of Snape's face. With a whiff.
No, no, like a sideline silhouette of Snape with a whiff. The little like wind emoji. Everybody toots.
Oh, man. And you know, food here actually plays, I think, a big part in what this chapter is doing. Because, you know, it they have this big breakfast and before they head off and they do the whole thing at the Weasleys. And then eventually, you know, they think that they're not going to get dinner because they are taken away from the feast. Yet, Professor McGonagall does give them some pumpkin juice and a magically refilling plate of sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And it's big because, as we've always said, the Dursleys have essentially starved Harry this whole time.
Yeah.
And giving him scraps for him to have sustenance. So much so that he's kind of skinny and emaciated and weak. But no matter how much trouble Harry gets into in Hogwarts, he still has food. Mm-hmm. He still is given the proper nutrition. And if that's the case, that means he still has a home at Hogwarts. He still is at home in Hogwarts. No matter what happens, he is welcome there.
You know who is not excited to see him, though?
Who?
Is Percy. So Percy's mentioned another couple times in this chapter. He's scowling at them. He's not happy at all. And, you know, he's really judging them right now with a bad demeanor. Whereas all the other Gryffindors, once the boys go back to the dormitory, Lumos is in love with us right now. And she doesn't want to sit.
No, she does not. She's
got
all
a couple of
us.
Spots she can sit. And she's just not wanting
If you guys listen to this on the podcast app, you need to watch us live.
I think we need to get like a little cat.
We need
right
like a
there.
Perch for her.
Yes.
I think we might do that next. We're going to put it like right here,
I think. Maybe right up here. She'll love to be up high.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There you go.
We're going to do that. A seat for Lumos.
You know, all the Gryffindors being Gryffindors are like, whoa, man, so cool. You came in a car. That's great. But yeah, they see Percy and they're like, we need to go to bed.
Yeah, because they know that they're gonna catch a beating for what they've done. And before they even do that, though, I think there's an interesting thing that happens that Harry does, which is very quick on his feet. He convinces Professor McGonagall not to take points away.
Yes.
Because he uses this loophole in the rules. Like, we did this before the school year started, so you can't take points away.
Well, he remembers what happened the last time they got, like, so many points away and all the Gryffindors hated them for so long. I don't want to start the year like that. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just find that, and McGonagall kind of, like, smiles at him and acknowledges the fact that, yeah, this is a big deal.
She's like
you're
thank
right.
you, because that was a close call last year.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, she loves Harry, especially in my fanfic that I love. She loves Harry.
And finally, we end the chapter with Harry and Ron getting pounded to the center of the earth by Hermione, being like, what are you doing? You guys got to be kidding me. But even though they break all the rules, and for reasons that may be justifiable, though I tend to say that they're not, they still get celebrated at the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Is this a good way to end this chapter?
Yes.
Why do you think it's a good way to end this chapter?
Well, all this time, Harry's just wanted to get back to Hogwarts. We started off with like the worst birthday, you know, with getting food shoved at him through the door slot, being treated poorly. And after all this, after not getting letters, after being stuck at Four Privet Drive, after not getting through the 93 quarters, he made it home. And I love that he's being celebrated with food and love and merriment.
Yep.
So I'm happy. Yeah, it's a bit, you know, more of the simpler nature. But to me, it's like, this is all Harry wants. Everybody else has home, but this is Harry's home.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. All right. You got anything else you want to say about this chapter, my love?
That's it.
You wanted to get into some different perspectives?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are...
Okay, Mary is pointing to me.
I'll do it too.
Okay, you do it first.
Molly Weasley.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay. Oh my gosh. If I ever could give advice to people, stop at 4. stop at four kids because you're going to forget things. Everyone's socks are going to be messed up. Imagine packing trunks for this many children, trying to get them off to Hogwarts.
I can barely handle two.
Honestly. So we know that Molly Weasley had a little mommy juice that morning, you know, getting ready for school.
Little mommy juice?
And as soon as they got to King's Cross, she was like, there's a bar here. Alfred. Alfred, go get me a drink. And he goes, my name's Arthur, honey. And she's like, whatever.
It's fine.
Okay?
You know who you are.
We got the kids here. We're fine. We made it. Because you know what today is?
Yeah.
Do you know what today is, Alfred, Arthur? Today is the day that we've been dreaming about for 30 years, or at least it feels like. Our youngest child is going to Hogwarts.
Goodbye.
The day date has begun.
She's intending to do what we did when both of our kids went to school.
She's like, as soon as we walk through 9 3/4, I'm not even going to wave to Ginny. Okay?
I don't even know where she is. I don't even care.
I'm going on the next train that goes the other way. I think it's to Paris.
As far away as I can go.
How do you feel about Paris today? Want to do it? And that's what happened. She was a little tipsy.
Yeah, sure.
Walked through, gave a high five to Jenny and told Fred and George to get her on the train. And she and Alfred, Arthur, this is how tipsy she was, took a right.
Just took a right.
Done my job.
Hey, how many bags of Doritos and bottles of melatonin? Is Molly Weasley?
She's you know Hermione's expandable purse.
Yeah,
she got it from Molly. That's what she used to carry in it.
Oh man!
So she didn't know. She didn't know until a Hogwarts owl got to her as she was sitting at a table in Paris having pan. I don't even know. I don't speak French. Having bread. She was just having bread, chocolate, and wine.
Bread, chocolate, and wine.
That's it. She and Arthur were having a day date. Trying to celebrate.
Melissa here on Facebook says, mimosas for Molly.
Yes.
Is Molly a mimosa drinker, or is she a Bloody Mary drinker?
Molly will drink anything.
Does it have alcohol?
Listen, is it September 1st? Because if so, I will. You get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Oh man!
Are you? Are you somebody?
Oh no, I can't follow that up. That was perfect. All right, we got some questions coming up here. We got some emails, so we're gonna get into the listener questions now. So if you're watching us live, please get your questions ready. Put a little
lightning bolt emoji
ahead of the question, so we know that it is a question. But we do have an email here, so let's get into that, shall we?
Oh, Miles Head.
All right, so remember, everybody, if you are listening to this in the podcast app and you're not able to give us live questions, that is okay. Don't worry about it. You're fine. You can send us an email like this person did and just send it. Mary, what are you doing?
Swish and flick.
She's playing with our cat. She's making our cat with a wand. Like...
Wingardium Leviosa.
What are you doing? We're in the middle of recording.
I'm listening. For what it's worth, she was playing with the wand, okay? She was rolling it around the table and it was bothering me, so I took it to save it. And then she started to swat it, so I thought, takes two to tango, let's dance.
Let's dance! Oh my god, my stomach hurts! Let's dance!
She's so good.
Oh my god. That is a Hall of Fame moment.
See, it's not me. See,
Mary,
she wants it.
There playing with the freaking cat. We're gonna try to read listener questions. Oh, okay. Well, you'll find that on the Hall of Fame moment section of the YouTube channel, ladies and gents. Mary just decides to play with the cat mid recording. Okay. Anyway, here we are. This one comes from Kathleen. You're still freaking doing it. Oh, okay, I'm getting cramps. All right. Brittany asked, what's in Mary's cup tonight?
Water.
Yeah, I know. All right, so this one comes from Kathleen. She says, Dumbledore is the headmaster of Hogwarts. Why does everyone refer to him as Professor Dumbledore? Mary?
That's a great question. That is a really great
because
question.
Because he once was a professor, and like the professor is still like...
He still
is a professor, I imagine.
Yeah, maybe he teaches like an AP class.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, like why don't they call him Headmaster Dumbledore?
Yeah, but he once was a professor, so it still stands.
Well, and that's it. I think he was probably a professor for so long that people just got used to calling him that. Like, I have a professor at the University of Rhode Island. He started on my sophomore year, and he was relatively young, and we just called him by his first name. No, we didn't call him, like, professor last name. And then he even got his doctorate. And my year, like, mm-hmm. it's weird for me to hear people say Dr. So-and-so.
Yeah, right. Because
I'm like, oh, you mean Bob? Like, it's not Bob or so-and-so. But you know what I mean? Like, I think he was just there as a professor for so long that that's what people got used to. And he's not one to make a big hurrah about himself.
Sure. And the other thing, too, it could be like for the presidents. Like, we still call... President Obama, President Obama, like even though he's not the president anymore,
yeah,
you know, like President Bush and President Reagan, like they were all the presidents, yeah. They're just not anymore, but you still give them that title.
But I feel like if you had a higher title, a better title, then you'd be called that.
Maybe.
You know, like if you were a senator, but then you became president, you would be called senator graduate. President.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I think it's just Dumbledore being humble.
The next one is, if one of the main missions of the Ministry of Magic is to prevent Muggles from learning about the Wizarding Worlds, what do they do with full Muggle parents, i.e. the Grangers?
They have NDA.
All the NDAs.
Yeah.
So many NDAs.
/ we're going to erase your brain if you don't do this.
That's a good point. They probably get in there and they obliviate the world if they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Some Men in Black.
Or they flashy thing them. Hey, okay. I got you. You did beat me. You know what we deserve? No! There you go. The next one is, what do Muggle parents say to friends and relatives where their child is when they're in school? Mm-hmm. Is it like boarding school and give no specifics?
Yeah, I think that they're probably given a couple of choices. This is what I envision in my mind, that when they get the letter and it's a Muggle family, they're like, and if you'd like, these are the three schools that there's minor research about that mm-hmm. you could kind of fib. It's like a very, very, very small boarding school for mm-hmm. children of dentists.
Good point. I like it. She's thinking of herself sending a snail mail to her nephew at university. What address would they give, for example, for kids at Hogwarts? Is there some P.O. box?
That's a good question. I mean, you could describe it in a fun way. I don't know. You'll have to look at the back. It's just a seal, I think. I don't know. We'll have to look at the letters.
She says, love you guys and Hufflepuffs rule. Nope, you don't. Sorry.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Out on Hufflepuffs. All right.
Yes, he did take my wand. Someone just asked if you took my wand.
All right. Let's see if we have any
questions. Ellen.
Okay. Ellen says,
Australia.
Did you know that Australian schools start in January and go to December so we don't get the whole September 1st thing? We get 6 weeks off for Christmas as that. That's when our summer is. Is that weird to you?
Yes.
Yes.
So wait, you start school on the 1st? Is it a holiday for you? Oh, wait, she starts in January. I'm hoping at least you get New Year's Day off. So, I mean, to be honest, like a calendar year would be kind of cool to go to school. But then they only
get so they start in January 1st and they go all the way to December. So we don't get the whole September 1st thing. They get 6 weeks off for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because that's when their summit is.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
They probably get off like midway through the December, midway January.
I feel like I've just been opened up to the Matrix. Like, how does that even happen?
You just send them off. Well, and also Christmas is summer, so I don't know. It's like Christmas in Hawaii.
Do you think you'd cope in Hogwarts uniforms during the year, given that they're hot and sweaty?
I think that they would be bewitched to be breathable.
I would agree. I also had to deal with uniforms in high school, and I will tell you that we had to wear sweaters even in May and June and in the hot months.
In Scotland, during the school year, is not hot.
Yes, definitely not hot. I mean, it's probably like a balmy 73.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
So they probably need them.
Because they're there September through June. September through May. So,
yes, right.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay. If you had
Caitlin says if you... Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. No.
If you had an enchanted Muggle object, what would you want?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would want something super duper discreet.
Okay.
That no one would, you know, think was odd that I was carrying, like a watch or something.
Okay.
You
and
know?
What would your watch do?
It would pause time so I could nap.
That is the biggest Mary answer I've ever heard. Wow. All right. Rachel says, what do you think Molly does during her day? And what hobbies would you take up if your kids were at Hogwarts? If you could use magic to do all your chores, laundry, shopping, or would you be working?
I feel like Molly does a fair share of working because
she's still got chickens.
They've got all those gnomes. They moved back in.
Yeah.
The displaced gnomes.
They found their way back. They took enough time off. Mm-hmm. They're like, maybe they forgot about us.
I think she deep cleans and sanitizes all of her son's rooms.
Yes.
Imagine how gross it is.
How smelly must that be?
Goodness gracious.
They must have their own floor, like the top floor. So that like the smell just rises. It does. Yep. It doesn't go down.
Yeah.
No.
It takes her a long time to clean those rooms.
Let's see. I think we're good here. Mary would use the time turner for all the naps.
Yes.
Says Melissa. Yes.
Yes. Melissa
knows.
So
many great time turners.
I mean, I would probably like fit in extra hobbies too, but first I would get a fair share of naps.
Rebecca asks a question here. Good one. Who would you want for a godfather? Sirius, Lupin, or Mad-Eye?
Ooh.
I will answer this question first because you guys all know how much I love me some Snape as well as Gilderoy Lockhart. My love of Sirius Black, it's up there. It pretty much equals Gilderoy Lockhart. So yeah. I would say I'm all about the Sirius life.
Yeah.
I want Sirius. He's just so good and he cares. He really like takes Harry as his own. And it's because I think that has to do with Gary Oldman, the way that he portrays Sirius for me. It's just so warm and loving. Mm. And like he's real with Harry. He tells him the truth. He doesn't sugarcoat nothing. But he gives him a safe place. When Harry's with Sirius, it feels like Harry is safe. Would you agree?
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you picked Sirius and then I couldn't have him.
No, you can have him if you
want. If it was between Lupin and Mad-Eye, I'd go for Mad-Eye.
Really?
I'd go extreme. Okay, I'd go for Mad-Eye because, A, if my parents were alive and he was just like a really nice godfather, I'd get the coolest, most illegal gifts. Right?
So many illegal gifts.
Yeah. But if my parents did die, and if Mad-Eye Moody was my godfather, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have ended up in Azkaban.
Mad-Eye Moody?
Yeah.
Why was he in Azkaban?
No, Sirius was. Like, I think Mad-Eye Moody would have
had a
bunker and would have protected me and would have taught me ninja moves.
So many
ninja
moves.
And would have been like, I'm going to make you a Voldemort killing machine.
It's like the Bourne identity, but it's the Potter identity.
Yes. So because I agree. I think Sirius Black is a top choice, but if I couldn't, I'd go extreme.
Next question comes from Brittany. She says, do you think Snape and Minerva fight behind the scenes? I envision Dumbledore getting sick of their squabbling. See, I feel like Snape is very passive aggressive. And McGonagall just, her F's account is on overdraft.
Was McGonagall his professor?
Ooh.
If so, I don't think they'd fight.
Yeah, I don't think that they would fight. Because
I think that he has respect for her.
Yes.
I think he is respectful, and I think that she just says whatevs. Whatevs to him.
Yep, I'm probably...
Like, he doesn't talk sports, he doesn't talk Quidditch.
And she calls him Sirius. Like, she doesn't say Professor Snape, she says Sirius. I'm not serious. Severus.
Yeah.
She says Severus.
Yeah. I think she is above him in the hierarchy and he knows his place.
Yep.
It makes me think about the scene when he goes to see Harry, when Harry comes back at the end and you know, and she steps in front of him and that's when he leaves. It's like, oh no, Professor, right. We gotta go.
Yeah, like time to go.
Yeah, all
like,
right.
He gives her a little bit of business, but you know that wasn't full strength business. And he's just like, all right, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do anything to Professor McGonagall.
No, because she's awesome.
Because she does rule. All right, I think that is the end of the questions for right now, my love. Are you ready to close this bad boy out? You got anything else to say?
No.
Nope. Okay, just making sure. Any final thoughts?
However, that fanfic that I love, it does go into the Minerva Severus relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They become good friends.
Okay.
And they have a... I'm telling you guys, like, all this fanfic. They have this rule that whoever team wins the House Cup, the opposite person has to wear, like, the team colors. So Minerva would have to, like, dress up in Slytherin clothes. Or Severus would have to dress up in Gryffindor clothes. I'm telling you, it's a really fun fanfic.
All right, I'm in. I'm in. All right, let's close this out.
We want to thank all of you who've taken the time and to and just like patience and love to join the Nerd Clan.
Yes, thank you so much, guys, for being a part of that and joining us. And if you're joining us live, and if you're listening to us on the podcast app, seriously, thank you very much for bringing us and inviting us into your very personal space of your ear. Like, it's an honor and it's a privilege to do this for you guys and be here and just nerd out about Potter for a little bit.
Agreed.
And get away from all the stuff, you know, get away from the stuff that's happening around us today, whether it's the stuff on the West Coast, it's the politics or whatever. It's just good to just nerd out about Potter.
Agreed. Agreed.
And have this community, right?
This is what we do it for.
Yeah, right. Just, I love being able to sit here and talk with everyone that joined the Nerd Clan and everybody here that's live with us now. You guys,
we get to imagine what would have happened if Ginny completely forgot her diary.
And debate about Dobby's real intentions.
Yes. Why just Harry, Dobby? Why not all the kids of Hogwarts? Well, on that note, if you want to support us, you can go to jointhenerdclan.com.
Yep, and that's it. And go to maryandblake.com too. Check out all the stuff that we have there as well.
My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.